So, we'll turn in our textbooks then to page 121 of Christianity Through the Centuries, and we'll also turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, and we'll get to a particular scripture at the end of our lecture today. All right, so page 121 and Matthew chapter number 10. A question over here? Okay. All right. Today we're going to talk about Gregory the Illuminator. You just heard a recording, short recording, about how he basically spent 14 years in prison and then demanded an audience with the sovereign of the land, now known, or I should say then known as Armenia. And Armenia is, still around. I'll show you it on a map, both in the 300 time frame and in current day. It's considerably smaller these days. Considerably smaller. Okay, so let's, first of all, let me put a couple of words up on the board so that you don't get confused. All right. This spelling is someone from Armenia. This spelling is someone who follows the teachings of Jacob Arminius, and is typically an opposite to what doctrine or what system of beliefs?
Calvinism.
Calvinism. Thank you, Edgar. So usually people say, are you Arminian or Calvinist? Well, remember, there's a difference between these two words. One lousy little letter. Okay, that's kind of tricky, isn't it? But just know that one is someone from the country Armenia. The other is a follower of a guy with the last name Arminius. Okay. And notice they're spelled different. Arminian, Jacob Arminius is the one spelled with an I. Okay, so that is the opposite to Calvinism. Alrighty, just wanted to make us aware of that. So, first of all, as you heard, he was the missionary to Armenia. We're looking on page 121, and we're thinking about subsection B. And we're thinking about the first full sentence of subsection B. The first full sentence of subsection B. I need someone, please, to look and to read the first... I'll just read the whole paragraph. Who will do that? All right, Ken?
Armenia was won for the gospel by Gregory the Illuminator. When in about 301, King Tardate was converted and baptized. The Bible was translated into the Armenian language by 433. Some claim that several million people were won. Armenia was the first state to become officially Christian. And in spite of persecution through the centuries, the Armenians have held essentially to the Christian faith.
Alrighty, so that's interesting, I would say. So he was a missionary to Armenia. Now, I don't want you to think that he was the first missionary to Armenia. This is not like one of those, hey, the patron saint of Britain, for example, which is, if we were to say patron saint of Ireland, who would you think about?
St. Patrick.
St. Patrick, yeah. Well, you got all the answers today. That's good. Staying sharp. So, let me read to you a page out of a book called Handbook of Denominations in the United States, 13th edition by Mead, Hill, and Atwood, and its copyright date is 2010. So, on page 56, there is an entire, well, not that it's really impressive, but a page and a half overview. Remember, the title of the book is Handbook of Denominations in the United States. So, for a page and a half, we hear about the Armenian Apostolic Church of America. Armenia is generally recognized as the first nation to become Christian when it became the state religion in 301. And who was responsible for that? Gregory the Illuminator, because he had a conversation with King Tiridates, or however you want to pronounce it. But it says, tradition holds that the apostles Thaddeus and Bartholomew first brought the message of Christ to Armenia. So that's what brings us to Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10 and verse number 1. I need someone, please, to read verse. I'll tell you what we'll do. Daniel, you'll read verse 1, Edgar 2, what's your name? Zach 3, and you'll wrap it up, Jordan, with verse 4. Go ahead.
And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother.
Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus.
Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him.
Surname, what does that mean?
Last name.
No, it's not. It's the name you go by. So Williams, typically, my surname is Bill, okay? That's the idea there. So Lebbaeus was probably his legal name. Thaddeus, how he was known. that's a pretty cool name, isn't it?
Thaddeus.
And then Bartholomew, maybe not so cool. Bartholomew is typically, in the other Gospels, known as Nathaniel. And Lebbaeus and Thaddeus are, in the other Gospels, parallel accounts, typically known as Jude. So when the Drillards were here, I don't know if you can remember, they had a little boy named Jude, and I call him Thaddeus, typically, just for fun. And typically I call Nate Peek, I call him Bartholomew, just for fun. So, and I don't know if he likes it, but the jury's out. He hasn't told me he hasn't, so it carries forth. So here we see that two of the 12 apostles, Thaddeus and Bartholomew, are typically known in church tradition as being the ones who originally brought the gospel to Armenia. Now let's talk about where that is. Here's a picture that I'm going to need you to remember a few things on. Now you might notice this is typically, it has basically three time frames in mind on this map. What I would need you to pay attention to so far is where Britain is, where Gaul is. Gaul is now what?
France.
Yeah. Britain, Gaul, Rome, okay. Turkey. All right, you know that most of what we've been talking about so far has been in Turkey. A lot of it, Constantinople's right here on this, what you would call an isthmus. Isthmus, I think. So, and that is a piece of land with water on two sides, a land bridge, isthmus, versus a peninsula, which is probably this, and it is water on three sides. All right, so please notice we're going to look at a map in just a moment, and you have the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. All right, here is some other things to look at. Here's the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aqaba, or rather the Gulf of Suez on the left, Gulf of Aqaba on the right. In the middle, the Sinai Peninsula. Down here would be Saudi Arabia. Up in here would be Iraq. The reason we know that is because both the Tigris and Euphrates go through Iraq. All right, so down in here you'd find the Persian Gulf. All right. So here, just almost exactly north of the Persian Gulf, is the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea, and this little land bridge between them. And in the land bridge is Armenia. Notice the date on the top of the map. This is about the time of Gregory the Illuminator. Notice the bodies of water from the previous slide. Black Sea on the left, Caspian Sea on the right. I'll back up a slide so you can see it on the big picture again. So this is the area, basically right here, where Armenia was in the time of Gregory the Illuminator. So you might see how far removed it is from Jerusalem. It's almost exactly north. And if we were to use this as our 400-mile marker, actually this is more like to the end of the road, is about 300 miles, three times, so about 900 miles from Jerusalem. About 900 miles from Jerusalem is where Bartholomew and Thaddeus journeyed, and then where Gregory the Illuminator was. Now, on your quiz, which is in 2 days, you're going to need to label a couple of things here. Black Sea, Caspian Sea, Armenia. Notice the previous picture. Armenia is not really that far up on the Black Sea. It's kind of at the tip of the Black Sea over to the Caspian Sea. So, tip of the Black Sea over to the Caspian Sea. This is where your area of Armenia is. Okay? Right there. Okay? So, in this first quiz, you're going to label down here somewhere Holy Land, Black Sea, Caspian Sea, Armenia. It will get more complex. Because you're brilliant. Alright, so let's rehearse here what we know about Gregory the Illuminator. Missionary to Armenia. These are all out of those that one paragraph that Ken read. Okay? Missionary to Armenia. The king was converted in 301 and established the first Christian nation on the earth. How many years before the Edict of Milan? 12 years before the Edict of Milan. So 12 years before Christians were allowed to live, this was a Christian nation. That's pretty wild, isn't it? That's counterintuitive. So there's a king saying, I don't particularly care what the empire says. This is a Christian nation, and you all can get off my land, my stuff. Now, the Bible is translated into their language about 130 years later. That's in your book, page 121, same paragraph. And then we want to remind ourselves that supposedly, end of that paragraph, several million people were converted. And let's just remind ourselves, there are some serious life lessons here. Here's a guy. Here's a land that did not know Christianity very much. It was paganism that ruled the day. The witness of Bartholomew and Thaddeus doubtless had traces still in Armenia 300 years later, 270 years later after the ascension of Christ and their obedience to the Great Commission. But what we don't know is how much of a hold it had. We understand there was, well, multiplicities of, I should say, exponential growth. After Gregory the Illuminator witnessed to the king of Armenia in 301. And that was after he paid a price. 14 years in prison. I am sure that Gregory the Illuminator did not feel like he was making much of a difference sitting in prison. I'm sure that he felt like he was wasting time. And that is the thing that doesn't make sense to me. You know, we're taught to plan and that we would see gradual growth. We're not taught that this sort of critical mass where you wait around in a prison cell for 14 years and then boom, God uses you to win a king to the Lord who makes Christianity a state religion and now everyone is following your Messiah. A man who was patient, a man who had guts, a man who probably sat in prison and wondered if he would live to see another day of freedom. So there's all kinds of life lessons there. Here's a regular person doing extraordinary things. And I guess the life lesson is, yeah, it might look like there's nothing left for you to do. Might look like that. This book, Handbook of Denominations, goes on to say that the Armenian Christianity kind of found its roots. At least the Armenian Church in the United States was established in Massachusetts in 1891. So, I'm going to take you to a website now. This is armenianprelacy.org. It's going to look mighty Catholic because you can't really deny the effects that Catholicism has had on the world, particularly while this religion was beginning. So, this is the presence of Armenian Christianity. And it started, again, in the 1890s or so in Massachusetts. There's what the language looks like. So let's see how many churches there are of this Armenian Christianity in the United States. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. There are 23 of them. The closest one to us so far, Pennsylvania or Ohio. Maybe Florida, huh? Nope, D.C. D.C. would be the closest one to us. And you actually go to their websites and snoop around a little bit. And if you wanted to, you could probably learn a little bit more about their history. I don't know how often they update this. I understand in their church they have deacons. They have priests who can be married. And then they have bishops that cannot be married. So priests are allowed to be married. You don't have to write this down. Priests are not allowed to be married. Bishops are not. So they do have a difference in their system between pastors and priests. Now they will allow someone who has been widowed as a priest to become a pastor. But they don't want any married pastors. They say you can take much better care of a flock if you are not worried about a family. Are there any questions about Arminian Christianity or Gregory the Eliminator? Any at all?